Commissioner Jeremy Matlow will be with us in the second hour of today's broadcast, talking all topics related to this season we now enter with this campaign in full swing. And then I've got Captain Robert Clary in the first hour. We're talking summer safety, things you and I need to know. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 75 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
My friend, we are together again and glad that you've made it a part of your day. You know, we are earnestly interested in your comments and opinions and feedback. You're always welcome to visit us online in all the customary, what has become customary for us. Or you can email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's a good thing. Always like to hear from you that way, especially if you have an idea for a topic you'd like us to consider. A guest or whatever. Today's guests are right on time. If you've not been following local elections of late, well, my friend, you need to join us. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I tend to get lazy about that stuff too. You know, that's why Carl's here, keep the moose in line. But we're going to learn a lot as we learn from Commissioner Jeremy Matlow what's been happening and what he has to say about the distribution of public funding, and what he has, what he wants to say about how decisions are made, who makes those decisions on our behalf. And so it happens that he has recently filed a lawsuit against Blueprint and trying to figure out then whether or not these folks should be required to disclose publicly any of the conversations, any of the discussions that involve you and me. That's what are referred to as sunshine laws. All public officials are subject to those requirements that then prohibit the sort of backroom, you know, discussions that would involve your money, my money, in this case, the money that comes from sales tax, that portion, that, I guess, half cent that's designated for, or the 1.5% of that is local. That's the surcharge, right? So the 7.5% in sales tax that you and I pay on taxable items and services, well, you know, that half penny goes to Blueprint, and that Blueprint money then becomes this massive fund, so much so that millions of dollars are available, which at the outset were sold to us as monies to be used to make improvements to our community. Catch the word. You know, the last time I looked, community meant all of us. And so in that respect, it comes back to how all of us are best served with the investment of those funds in the things that affect most of us. You know, I don't know, silly things like sidewalks and roads and neighborhood improvements and, I don't know, resources of various kinds, community centers and opportunity programs, people who benefit because they have available to them educational resources that can help them raise their standard of living, find better employment. All of that sort of thing being the focus of this blueprint money as it was sold to you and I. And with that in mind, Commissioner Matlow will talk again with us, because he's talked with us now before, about the decision to award Florida State University Doak Campbell Stadium $20 million, which will end up being $27 million because of the debt management, the interest paid on that $20 million. And it, you know, once that all kind of came down, there were people saying, well, but Florida State, you know, they're wonderful and they do a lot for this community. And to my way of thinking, I would agree. Florida State University is a massive contributor to the economics and the culture and the recreation and entertainment of this community. Count all the ways in which a major institution, educational institution, contributes to a community. Or another way of saying that is, if you pulled Florida State University out of the local landscape, I mean, what would be that impact? It'd be massive, to the point where it'd be tantamount to the efforts to move the state capital to Orlando, which has been attempted a few times. There's no question about the fact that we are what we are, and we come to it honestly. That is to say, we've inherited what was decided for us now, you know, 100 years or so ago, right? Early 1800s, 1823, I think. So the state capital, then the territory of Florida, established in Tallahassee. You know, we didn't get to vote on that. That happened. But we have inherited all that it brings with it, in that it becomes a magnet for people who are looking to advance their own fortune. Likewise, when it came to cotton farming and peanut farming, none other than Francis Epps, along with a lot of other people, made their way to Leon County. Newspapers along the East Coast, in the Carolinas, Virginias, full of stories about people making millions of dollars harvesting coastal cotton. And so it became the prominent provider of coastal cotton. Yields a finer fabric, fetches a better price. So that dominated the economics. And in the maintenance of that economy, yeah, slavery. Slavery was the economic engine, we'll say, the means by which all of that money was made. And invested mostly in families, many of whom have remained in this part of the country. You know, when I moved here 40 years ago, people wanted to know whether you were from Tallahassee, and they were proud of the fact that they were representing 9 generations or whatever. Well, okay, you don't have to be a historian. All you have to do is have the vehicle where you can drive around and see some of those massive tracts of land that have remained among some of the same families. Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. But there is something wrong with denying other people who don't have that heritage, who don't have that ownership of land or of a business or a position that affords them opportunity by its own nature, the ability to advance their family's welfare. You know, so what we're really in the business of doing now is questioning how we do business, questioning at every level, whether it's in local governance, economy, even education, even in the business of how we decide, who decides how this town is going to run. Jeremy Matlow will be with us in the second hour, and we'll talk at length about it. Robert Clary is here in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk with him about summertime fire safety. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For the last 14 years, Captain Robert Clary has been serving the good people of Tallahassee, and by extension, a lot of folks around this region, by bringing helpful information, by helping us stay in tune with good, sound, safety practices. And so we've got Captain Robert Clary with us. And once again, good to have you with us, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
And you know what? It's been a minute since you were last here. And I can't mention that without thinking of this beautiful person that served our community for so many years.
Sarah Cooksey.
And what a tragic loss. You were close with her.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We worked very close together.
You worked very closely together with her. And Sarah was that person who, as you are doing, carrying on in this vital work, especially at a time now as we are in the summer and going forward. Carl was saying earlier, these are drought conditions. This is a dry period for us. So those conditions are even more vulnerable, aren't they?
Absolutely. So, you know, whenever you're going to have a fire at your house, you want to make sure you wet the surroundings so that the fire, if it does escape, you know, it will go out faster.
Yeah.
Always have some water handy.
Yep.
Have it on, have it ready. You know, I advise not to burn when it's windy because those embers can pick up and
easily
flame on and just get into the woods and just...
And just stop and use your common sense. The woods are full of what? Pine straw for the most part, or dry brush of some kind, right?
Right. And of course there are burn bans. You know,
yeah,
you have setbacks and everything that you,
sure,
have to meet. And if you go to our website, talgov.com/fire department, you can see those setbacks.
Now that's important, folks. I hope you catch that. talgov.com/fire department. Simple enough. The good folks with TFD have been serving this community in even more extensive ways, and Captain Clary is part of that whole effort as the public education coordinator. So this time of year, you're probably even more intent. You know, you're the guy who said to us some time ago, I think it's been several years ago, put smoke alarms in your attic. Do you realize how many people I have told that story? I've said, hey, this is a great idea. And they go, why didn't I ever think of that? Well, yeah, you think of it when the fire, especially lightning, right? This time,
right,
of year, we're getting a lot of lightning strikes. House fires come by way of lightning strikes many times, right?
Absolutely. I've seen lightning do a lot of different things to homes. Like we talked about before, lightning can strike your home, and it might just start a smolder in the attic.
Yeah.
You know, and when it gets enough air, then the fire will really get going. But if you have a smoke alarm in your attic, then when that insulation starts to smolder, you have a chance to put it out before it gets too big.
There you go. I think I've told you this story. When I was a kid, that exact thing happened with my parents' home. I was probably 10, 12 years old, somewhere in there. And until the fire had gotten completely, it wasn't out of control, but it was real close, that's when everybody woke up. Well, by that time, and my father was injured as a result. He put that fire out with a garden hose.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember the fire folks came and looked at him like, I remember him putting salve on his burned feet and his hands.
It happens a lot more often than people think, especially in this area of Tallahassee. We have a lot of lightning fires. If you know your house, the smell of your house better than anybody else.
Indeed.
If you have a lightning event around and you smell smoke in your house and you can't pinpoint where it's coming from,
right,
give us a call. Let us come check it out. We may be able to catch it before it becomes too big.
There you go. Don't wait until it is too late. It's the theme of our Tallahassee Prepared campaign, which many of you are quite familiar with. Every year we try to make sure that we're aligned with Robert Clary and the good people at TFD to try to keep us better alerted to these gaps in our preparedness. You have a lot of educational programs going on too through the summer. We've got a holiday coming up here, so we want to talk about holiday preparedness, some of the programs that you've got going, and some of the resources. You mentioned Facebook. If we follow you on Facebook, you're going to have some guidelines for the July 4th celebration. Of course, that brings up the topic of fireworks, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So fireworks injure a lot of people every year nationwide, and we see it here in our community as well. You know, just a sparkly can get up to 1,200 degrees.
Indeed.
So, you know, when kids are... We advise for kids not to play with fireworks, but if you're going to have any fireworks, kids or adults, you should have gloves on, okay? Because that might stop you from getting burned by those explosive fireworks or the sparklers that, like I said, can reach 1,200 degrees.
No kidding. We were at a wedding several years ago, and my daughter, who was at that wedding, was burned because somebody handed her a handful of lit sparklers. And they handed them to her at the burning end.
Oh.
So she grabbed hold of those things without even realizing what was happening. Now, it was an instant, but the temperature of those burning sticks is formidable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. 1,200 degrees. And that's how hot they can get.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, wear gloves when you're handling fireworks. Make sure you have plenty of water on hand. Wet around the surroundings, like we talked about. Wet your grass.
Yes.
Anywhere that you're going to light these fireworks at.
Right.
And make sure you got water on hand. Make sure you have a metal bucket after the fireworks are over. Put them in that metal bucket with some water to make sure that they are out and they don't come back.
That's a great idea. I know I've gotten in the habit of just having that garden hose laying right there with the spray nozzle on the end. Water is on. I can grab that thing. And by the way, folks, make sure that the garden hose is not on the other side of the fire so you can get to it without having to go through the fire to get there. Those kinds of things seem to escape us. And I think of the barbecue grills and other cookout stuff that we're doing. A lot of that going on in a lot of our city parks, right?
Right.
So what are some of the things we need to think about if we're grilling?
Well, when you're grilling, you want to have the grill at least 10 feet away from the overhang of your roof.
Okay.
That way, if it catches on fire, you still have some clearance away from your house.
Ah.
You shouldn't grill on your balcony, your porch, anywhere, like I said, 10 feet away from your home. Never leave it unattended.
Yep.
You know, always keep an eye on it. make sure that you have water on hand for that as well. Yep. In case it gets out of hand, you have something to put it out. Or a fire extinguisher. You know, you can use a fire extinguisher, know how to use it. A lot of people have fire extinguishers and don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you know how to use it. You use the PASS acronym.
The fact is, too, I may have a fire extinguisher in my house that is out of date. So I could have you guys check that out for me. How do I do that? I want to make sure the fire extinguisher is still up to date and all.
Well, look on it. It should have a manufacturer's expiration date on
okay.
it.
Okay.
And if it's out of date, you can take it to your local landfill and go to your local hardware store and buy a new one.
Okay. Simple enough. We've got Robert Clary with us. He is the public education coordinator, Tallahassee Fire Department, and we are in tune with what's going on with TFD, so you stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of key.
Yeah. Oh, baby, hide it now. We're back. We're talking with Captain Robert Clary, Tallahassee Fire Department, Public Education Coordinator. This time of year, man, this is helpful information for all of us. You know, old guys like me, we kind of done this stuff over and over again. Ah, it'll be fine. Don't worry. Yeah, well, you're begging for it, aren't you, brother? If you start taking a sort of complacent attitude about being prepared, that's not cool, is it?
Absolutely. You know, this time of year, we have so much going on. You know, hurricane season coming up. So, you know, build your bucket. Make sure you have all your materials. Make sure you have a plan. Make sure that if something happens and you need to get out of town, you have a plan and you already have your stuff all ready to go. When you need to go.
How are you going to do that? Well said. The other thing that comes to mind is swimming. You know, warmer weather, kids are in the pool. What are some of the things we need to consider there, especially when we've got little kids?
Right.
Too often, horrifying stories.
Far too often. So the best thing to do is to teach your kids to swim as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So that's one protection that they'll have for themselves for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
But you never leave a child unattended while in a pool. You want to make sure that they stay away from the drains and that you have some type of barrier around the pool so they can't get in the pool if you're not watching.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up the idea of drains. People don't realize, too, you know, a swimming pool that has a filtering system, right?
Right.
That pump has a lot of torque, and it can trap a child underwater.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got to keep an eye on the kids, have safety rules in place, keep an eye on everybody, because you got 60 kids in this pool. You know, where are your four?
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and you always want to have a parent-to-kid ratio whenever you're having a party like that to make
sure that...
Make sure that every kid's accounted for and that you have enough safety around the pool to get to the kid and get them out.
You know, when I was I was actually a Boy Scout or Cub Scout, I forget now, probably eight, 9 years old. So I was, what, third or fourth grade. And we were at a kid's house, and they had a swimming pool, but they were also on a lake. And this one kid fell off the dock, did not know how to swim. Now, this is an eight-year-old boy, did not know how to swim, and we all stood there on the dock watching this kid drown. The owner of the home, thank goodness, ran and grabbed one of the devices that they use at the pool, one of those great big poles with the hook on the end,
right?
Lifted that kid up out of the water. That turned out to be a happy ending, I guess you'd say. Not the horrible tragic ending that could have been. But that instilled in me this caution. And I mean, I love being in the water, and I don't have any kind of, I guess, exaggerated fear. But man, there's a healthy challenge there, I guess, a healthy concern. Do you find in your work with people, and you've done this for now, you've been with the department 14 years.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for caring about us enough that you've continued to make it your job over these few years gone by, that keeping us alert, keeping us informed, motivating us to stop and think, what are we doing? What are the biggest challenges there? Do people kind of brush it off and decide, oh, come on, man, you're exaggerating?
People do not look at fire safety as something that they need to worry about, because until it happens to you, you don't know the devastation of what a fire can mean to you and your family. So I encourage everybody to stay vigilant and to take fire protection measures for their home. But, you know, some people don't listen, but it's my job to keep talking until they do.
Got to keep talking, don't we, man? When you think about the fact that this community continues to grow in population, and a lot of that population is even more dense, isn't it? Look at how many developments we have going on right now, some that are recently completed. I would challenge anybody to drive around Leon County and maybe beyond and look at how houses are stacked one next to each other. Some of those not more than 10 feet apart. So if his house catches fire, guess what? You're next in line.
Yeah, that's always the potential. So, you know, when we go to fires, we're always trying to protect the exposures, protect the next house over, and stop the fire that's immediately happening.
So with that in mind, do you go into neighborhoods and offer, you know, kind of a custom designed educational program? So if I'm the president of, let's say, you know, XYZ Homeowners Association, where you could come to a general meeting of the residents in that neighborhood?
Yes, and I also offer a program. It's a free home safety survey. You can go on talgov.com/fire department and fill out the paperwork, and I will get back with you, and we'll set up a time. And it's just like a free energy audit. I come to your house, we look over the house, and we talk about any fire recommendations that we may find in the home.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, a lot of business owners benefit from that, because TFD is good about getting around town. And we've had inspection here a few times in our studios, and it's been helpful because somebody left a barrel in front of the doorway that would be our only means of escape should a fire start. You know, and so the officer was, you know, they said it in such a nice way. You need to move that thing. Or if you have a faceplate that didn't get replaced after the painting job, there's a hazard there. Stuff like that.
Yeah, our prevention department does a wonderful job of going around to the local businesses and talking to people and getting them educated on what they need to do to be safe.
So there you go. So there's an idea that business owners are familiar with. We need to take that as homeowners, people responsible for families, and say, hey, Captain Clary, maybe you could help us out. So they should go to TFD's website for that as well? How do we get that involved?
Yes, you can go to the website and you can fill out a request, and
okay,
we'll come out.
Okay, that's what we should do. Folks, we've got Captain Robert Clary. We're talking about fire safety, but we're also talking about all kinds of summertime activities, grilling out, swimming. What are some of the other things? I guess going out into the, you know, we live in a wonderful part of the world. You're out there on the water if you're got your kayak or your canoe or whatever you're doing. What are some of the cautions that we need to consider, even in those maybe even more remote situations?
Well, like we were saying, one thing you want to do is keep the eyes on kids. And when you get ready to get out of your car, make sure you look in the back and make sure you get them out of the car and not have the kid trapped in the car.
You're running over to the store, it's a hot day, it doesn't have to be that hot, you jump out of the car, you leave the 2-year-old sitting there in the car seat with the windows up. That's not cool, is it?
That's not cool at all. And we want to make sure that we always, when we have our kid in the car, you know, I even put a little sticky note in on the door. That way, when I get ready to open the door, I see that sticky note, and I know, hey, look behind me,
remind,
that I got a kid.
And that applies to kids. It applies to pets as well. How many times
absolutely.
Do people leave
absolutely.
A dog or whatever in the back seat, and they just, we forget?
Happens.
Well, that's why we're doing this, folks. We got to remember to do the right thing. We know the right thing to do most often. I don't think any of us are that ignorant, but by golly, we do get busy and we get complacent. And so we're going to not be that way, right? So Captain Robert Clary is here to help us with that whole business. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
My dog was in bad shape and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back here with Captain Robert Clary. He's been helping me out, thinking more about how we care for each other, especially kids during the summertime, how we protect our neighbors. Yeah, and you said earlier, if you got your grill, make sure it's not right underneath the overhang of your house or up there on your deck. And you got to think too about those neighbors that are nearby. You know, maybe you may not feel at risk, but they do because of the way you're conducting business. When you think about the manner in which the fire department operates, you guys are a pretty efficient crew from what I can see. The team sense is very strong with you folks. People don't seem to come and go out of this organization. A lot of you, like you've been with the department 14 years. When you're together as colleagues in this business, what do you talk about?
Well, it's just like one big happy family. You know, you're with these people for 24 hours at a time. And you have your own crews and you come in and you work together to make this community a safer place. Mm. And, you know, but just like all organizations right now, we're looking for people. We're looking for people to go to fire school. We're looking for people to come and join the Tallahassee Fire Department who want to help this community be better.
Indeed. So that recruitment program is a big part of what you're doing currently. I guess that's an ongoing issue, isn't it?
It's an ongoing issue. You know, people retire. Like you said, people don't usually leave the fire department, but people do retire, and we have to replace those people.
Sure.
You know, and I want to replace them with the best because one day I won't be here, and I might have to make a phone call to 911, and I want the best people to show up to help me.
Yeah, man. You got to know who's on the other end of that phone. When it comes down to it, at the same time, we are growing as a community, and the department has grown right along with us. You feel like we need to grow more? I mean, I think you've completed a couple of new fire stations in the last few years.
We have another one coming, Station 17, in the next couple of years on the south side of town off of Lake Bradford. We're
going to
be building another fire station.
There you go.
That way we can get to people faster. And that's what it's all about, getting to people
time.
In the time of need
yeah.
for us to be there.
Yeah, time is our enemy. After the fire has started, or after the accident has occurred,
the clock starts ticking.
The clock is our enemy. When you think of that and you think of how we as a community respond to you as a department. I wonder too if we're, you know, if we're doing our part. If sometimes you feel like, come on, folks, I'm not doing this for my health. I'm doing this for your welfare. Does that ever seem to be the case? You just kind of get weary of the complacency, I guess, or
no? Because you know, just like I told you about the smoke alarms in the attic, you told somebody.
Yeah,
we talk about it on the show. I'm quite sure some people have them now.
So smoke alarms in the attic. Okay, that's my contribution to our general welfare. I'll keep preaching that. What do you look forward to in your career personally? Is this a lifelong endeavor for you? Do you ever see a time when you'll say, you know, it's been fun, guys, but I'm going to go do something else?
No, I can't see that. I got into this profession when I saw 9/11 happen.
Really?
Yes. 9/11 changed the way I looked at things, and I wanted to be a part of the solution to help my community. And so I went to fire school so I could be a firefighter, because what they did on that day just encapsulated everything that I wanted to be about.
Wow. Wow. How old were you when you enlisted?
35.
35 years old. And here you are today with this heart as big as a house, trying to make sure that I don't hurt myself or my neighbor in the process, or my kids, or my dog. Who are your heroes?
I have a lot of heroes. You know, my mother being the biggest hero in my life. She passed away a few years ago. Took something away from me.
That was a tough one.
Right, right. Yeah. But she always encouraged me to work hard and move on and try and help other people. So that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I think for a lot of us, and you mentioned this earlier, losing Sarah Cooksey was not fair, you know?
Yeah.
She was such an able person and cared for this community.
Sarah was a big part of the Tallahassee Fire Department, but she was a big part of this community and all of the organizations that she supported. You know, she did a lot of good while she was here, and I think God just needed another angel.
Ah, well, as we often say, heaven got a little brighter that day with her arrival. Folks, it is our pleasure to be able to bring people like Robert Clary to you. You've gathered from him the motivation, the heart, the perspective, the massive commitment he has to caring for other people when it happens that we get to have him. How fortunate we are, Captain Clary, that you have committed yourself to this task. What else can we do to help the department? You know, doing what you tell us to do is in our best interest, and you're not doing this just to be mean to us. You're trying to keep us on the upside. But what can Tallahassee do to make your job better, easier? Should we, like when we see you at the grocery store, just run up and hug you? Would that be acceptable?
Well, what I would like is for more people to follow us on Facebook because we're always putting out safety tips every week, you know, and even on our TowGov page,
yes. You
can go on there, and I have a full educational tab on there that you can click and find out all kind of safety information, stuff that we've talked about, stuff that we haven't talked about today, and just educate yourself.
How cool is that? And that requires so very little of us to help you do your job and care for us in a way that makes your job a little easier.
Absolutely.
Absolutely right. Okay, so we got our marching orders, folks. We're going to go to talgov.com/firedepartment. I think we can remember that. And then go to this tab on educational resources that Captain Clary is referring to. And I can tell you firsthand, that isn't stuff that he had someone else do. That's stuff that he's working on every day that he's on the job. And then your Facebook page. So we can go, I guess, Facebook/TFD.
Or Tallahassee Fire Department.
Tallahassee Fire Department. Simple enough. See, folks, this is why we do what we do here. We've got all of these resources at our disposal. And with the summertime heat and dryness and all of our summertime activities, from fireworks to swimming to outdoor grilling, Captain Robert Clary is here to say, come on, folks, we can work this out. You're going to have fun, but you're going to be safe doing it. Parting thoughts. What would you say to this audience about summertime safety?
Be fire smart and be safe.
Be fire smart and be safe. Folks, I think that'll carry. We can remember that. Even guys like me can remember that much. Fire smart and be safe. Folks, Robert Clary, who is a contributing part of this remarkable organization, Tallahassee Fire Department. Thank you, Captain. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up at the top of the hour here. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, celebrating 10 and a half almost years of the best dang radio show that we can produce. The best little radio show in Tallahassee. I hope you enjoyed as much as I do bringing it to you, because honestly, it is only for the love of it that I do this, frankly. I promise you I will not be among the rich and famous, and I'm okay with that. What I like is talking with people like Captain Robert Clary, who talks about his devotion to this community and how that all began back at 9/11 when he was a kid and purposed in his own mind that he was going to be a firefighter. And inspired by his devoted mom, he entered Fire Academy, and here he is today. Been with the department 14 years. Yeah, longer than we've been on the air with this show. He's been hard at work, and he continues to do that work for one very simple reason. He cares. He cares about whether or not your kids are safe at night, whether your house and your business are safe, whether or not you have taken the measures needed to contribute to your own welfare. You know, simple things like fire extinguishers and smoke detectors and jazz. And just don't be stupid like me. I do stupid things. Carl will tell you. I mean, you know, grilling out and douse the charcoal briquettes with lighter fluid and then, you know, they're already smoldering. Yeah, please don't do this. But I've done it. Set my hair on fire. Remember that, Carl? I think you do. How could you forget that? What a scene. So don't be dumb like me. Be smart. Listen to Robert Clary. Take care of yourself and your kids and your dog and, yeah, all that. If you have not had a chance to listen of late, well, let me encourage you to go back to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. We archive all of the broadcasts for you. And I might further encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, if that's easier on you. We are broadcast weekly, four times. So if you like listening early on a Saturday morning, well, welcome, my friend. We're glad you're part of the family of listeners at 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. Real Talk, it's called. Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe and all the team. Man, what a great job they do. Give a big shout out to my buddy GT, and I guess we'll just call him Matty Rowe. But that's good, right? Anyway, so there we are at 93.3 on Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, and then broadcast from 9 to 11 on our own station, Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio station to the world, bringing you all local musicians playing their original songs. Tallahassee artists, we need to clarify that. Somebody was asking me earlier, wait a minute, so are there no other stations that play local music? Well, I'm sure there are. But we're the only one playing Tallahassee music exclusively, that I know of, anyway. And there it is, moosemagnificat.com. You can find us online anytime. Download the app. Make that part of your listening pleasure. Lots of people tuning in, man. It's awesome. And by the way, Saturday nights, we broadcast live from the BBC at 9 o'clock. You can hear live blues music coming to you from this historic Bradfordville Blues Club, live from the BBC. It's a pleasure. And Danny on Everything, another great show that airs twice monthly. You need to tune in on this stuff, man. Danny Bedrosian is remarkably talented and a fun, fun person to listen to. He has some really nifty guests that are smart, interesting, topics at hand. See, all of this coming to you by way of Moose Magnificat. And you can actually join up with us in sponsoring the station, you know, for a measly $10 a month. And we have merch. We have fun stuff, mugs and bags, right? And backpacks and stickers and all that. So if you join us as one of our pledged patrons, well, we're going to send you some of our goodies along the way. Not to mention, you're actually supporting local music. What a cool idea. You know, you've heard about shopping local. Well, we say listen local. Yeah. Talk to some of these people that broadcast with us, their music on our station, and it's ain't easy, man. They're doing their best. So we're out there to help them. And it's such great music, too. We are fortunate. A couple of noted items for you with us from City of Tallahassee, the annual report affirming the high quality of city water. Well, that's good to know. This is the 2022 Water Quality Report, and it's available to you online. That's good. The City of Tallahassee released this quality report, and once again, shows that the quality of the city's drinking water surpasses all regulations set by state and federal agencies. Yay, yay for us. Drinking water standards for quality and safety in Florida are established at extremely stringent levels by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Florida Department of Health. So you got all these folks looking at what we're drinking. This quality report, which is federally mandated, it's also known as the Consumer Confidence Report. It provides monitoring data. Okay, so this is cool. The report is based on the results of monitoring for the period of January 1 to December 31 of last year, unless it's otherwise noted. But this is all good, and kudos to the folks responsible for the quality of drinking water in Tallahassee. Glad to know that you're on the job and we can enjoy some of the world's finest. And here's a quick reminder from the city. Remember to use water wisely. The Floridan aquifer offers us an ample supply, but it's not infinite. So conserving water now will safeguard this resource for future generations. Good advice. Thank you, City of Tallahassee. In other news, not that it's of any surprise to you, we lost this police deputy, police officer, I should say, Tallahassee Police Department officer, who died in the line of duty while he was trying to apprehend Tyrone Cleveland, who had left his home after shooting his wife and two daughters. They're okay. In fact, the suspect here, Tyrone Cleveland, is okay, facing numerous charges, of course. But the police officer involved was killed in the line of duty. There is a funeral for him. There was a funeral for him this last Wednesday. So the funeral procession was sort of the closing moment where we were able to remember Officer Christopher Ferriello, who we said goodbye to this last week on Wednesday's funeral procession and services. A tough loss for this community, and it's a reminder that we are all in this thing together, and we have to look out for one another. That's what we're going to talk about as we come to the second hour here with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. Stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Jeremy Matlow is City Commissioner, Seat 3, now running for re-election. He is our guest today. How are you, Mr. Commissioner?
I'm doing great.
Trying to keep this real simple going in, because you bring a sort of clarity, a lucid approach to what can be troubling and complicated issues, apparently more complicated than any of us realized, because whenever you come out publicly on a given topic, it seems like all hell breaks loose. And why do you keep doing that? You're disrupting our status quo. Stop it.
I'm not sure I've ever been called a simple man and took it as a compliment, but I think a lot of what's happening in Tallahassee, people need to know about it. And, you know, if there's one thing I can accomplish through public service is to let people know what's happening in their local government. And if there's a second thing I can do, it's fix it, fix the problems.
Yeah, and that fix is the plowing of the field and the clearing of the land, and that's an extensive challenge for any one person. And I think it's the challenge for all of us in whatever the topic is at hand. In this case, the topic has to do with the allocation of public resources. Not only who gets to decide, but who is it that decides who gets to decide? And so there's that sort of tertiary, and there may be even other levels of authority that we haven't even tapped into yet. But what we've come to realize, because of your persistence in this, annoying that you may be for some, but it happens that at this juncture, you got a lot of things that are percolating, we'd say. You filed a lawsuit, basically a lawsuit against Blueprint Leadership. Is that how that works? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I filed a lawsuit against the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency. That's the entity that collects our penny sales tax. And I tried to resolve this in every way I could through my official capacities. The underlying issue is the leadership at Blueprint, the committee that is spending a lot of our money, making recommendations, guiding this billion-dollar agency, they're not meeting in public view. The Florida Constitution allows for every citizen to be able to access what their government's doing and trace it back to its origin. So they're supposed to meet publicly. They're supposed to let the public attend. They're supposed to keep meeting minutes. And they've taken a position that those rules don't apply to them, that they're somehow different. They've created something that Florida has never seen before, and they're excused from it. So I brought this to Blueprint meetings, and I said, let's ask the Attorney General of Florida for an opinion, because that's what they routinely give opinions on whether something falls into the Sunshine Law.
Right.
And really, extraordinarily, the other commissioners voted to adjourn that meeting an hour and a half early before any other commissioner could even comment on if we should do that. Huge red flag. You know, why are they trying to shut down this meeting when we're just trying to get preliminary legal advice? So I followed up with that, and I asked the Blueprint attorney to offer me a written opinion of why it's okay. It took four follow-up emails just to get a response, and it's been over 2 months, and I still haven't gotten a written opinion. So I have constituents asking me, like, is this okay and why? Why can't we get an answer? So really, I mean, it's the last thing I wanted to do, but the courts are the arbitrators of these types of matters. So, you know, working with attorney Marie Maddox, and we filed suit, and all we're asking for is for them to meet publicly. We're asking the court to say, yes, they must obey Sunshine Law and they must meet in the public.
Indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, you have two officials who meet privately, apparently. And one of those would be our county administrator, right?
Correct. Yes, our county administrator, Vince Long, and our city manager, Reese Goh. They make up the committee that makes a lot of these decisions.
I see.
I think the reasoning was you want the city perspective and the county's perspective, you know, to commingle and make these decisions, which is what makes them a committee or board that needs to be conducted in the sunshine.
I got you. In that capacity, you have then, at the same time that you are running for re-election, been willing to engage your opponent, Mr. Bellamy, in what I think is the first public debate. It's happened just recently, right?
Yeah, just this last week, we were finally able to you know, hear Dr. Bellamy's ideas and contrast them with us. And, you know, I think, frankly, we won the debate outright. He didn't really bring anything new to the table. And I think more concerning, as we talk about Blueprint, the director of Blueprint was hired in a bar. It played out in the media. Scott Maddox, before he went to jail for corruption charges, texted Mr. Pingree, "Blueprint is yours. Make the deal. I already got you the job." And they all kind of joked back and forth about, "Thank you for getting me this job." Well, the county administrator, city manager, conducted this interview in a bar. Nobody else applied. Nobody denied that they were drinking. I mean, this is the smoky back room, right? They're having beers. They're selecting who's going to lead a billion-dollar agency. In our debate, Dr. Bellamy mocks it. He jokes like nobody cares about that. He threw his arms up in the air like he was praying to God. It's like, I've lived in Tallahassee my entire life, and the people of Tallahassee are concerned about government corruption. Yes. They are concerned about the insider system and the misuse of resources. So I think that's the ultimate contrast from an opponent. And not surprisingly, you know, he was recruited by Chamber of Commerce power players. He's backed by the same big money that backed Scott Maddox. He hired the same consultants that work for Scott Maddox. So this really is, I think, the establishment's attempt to push back and regain power. But I don't think that's what the people of Tallahassee are looking for right now.
In your mind, is it in fact just a power play? You know, who's going to be in control of?
Yeah, of course it is. You know, in our debate, it's hard pressed to find anything of contrast policy wise that Mr. Bellamy was able to point to that he disagreed with me on. You know, and multiple times I said, if you really want to improve the lives of people who are living in poverty, if you really want to direct resources to where they need to go, if you really want to see change in our community, you filed for the wrong race. You should have put your name in the hat for a different seat. But I think it's very telling why he picked me. It's very telling who his backers are and, you know, ultimately the types of decisions he will make.
Interestingly enough, I want to quote from that debate with Dr. Bellamy, and you're quoted here saying, What we're not going to do is we're not going to set up camps and continue to ask people to live outside. You're talking about homelessness. So then you said that has failed all across the country. It was disastrous in St. Pete. Studies have shown that 98% of the people who have experienced homelessness would move indoors if you allow them. But what's happening in Tallahassee, again, it's just wrong. The homeless have been under attack. But what we know from what works is when you put people in housing first, when you don't worry about trying to get them a job first, it works. So you're immediately pointing to this daisy chain, this formula, this sort of link of various causal antecedents, we'd call them, right? So, and you go on further in that debate to say, we got to stop thinking about people as the problem. You know, people are people. And so we're not here to solve a problem. We're here to take care of the people who have elected us, any of us, to do that job. Folks, I've got Jeremy Matlow. You stay with me. We're coming right back after we tell Ryan what a nice person he is. Stand by.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. So what we have thus far is a overview, I suppose, in some respects, of your motivation, your intention, that were it not for the fact that from your point of view, and maybe those you represent, so there's a number of people who feel this way and believe this way, the status quo needs to be challenged. And that owes to the idea that there's a whole lot more that we could be benefiting from, or life could be much better for more people were we to challenge that status quo. What I heard you say in that first segment was the fact that this really is a power play. And see, that says to me that it's less about the ideas at hand. Maybe that's why you felt that Dr. Bellamy's ideas are pretty compatible with yours, except he's not there to represent ideas, is he? He's there to represent his constituents, who happen to be the people backing his campaign. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, everything we do in government, from local government all the way up to the federal government, comes down to how we spend our money. And our taxpayers, all of our money, how we collectively spend our money, and who benefits from those decisions. In Tallahassee, I mean, it's no secret, the people of Tallahassee aren't benefiting the way the well-connected are. There's not a good government project worth $27 million that's influencing affordable housing. You know, the number one issue we hear about is the housing prices are getting out of control, both in rental markets and in resale markets. We have people coming in from across the country buying up mobile home parks, instantly evicting people and doubling the rent overnight, right? There's real crisis in our community. And while that's happening, the leadership in our government is saying, well, let's take $27 million, more money than most of us will ever touch in a lifetime, and use it for luxury stadium improvements. Mm. I mean, the disconnect could not be more severe. How you can have so many people in our community not just struggling to get by, but suffering. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ignored, and we're over here making pleather seats. It's so insane when you actually say it, but when you look at our city, 25% of our city lives in poverty, 50% of our city is living paycheck to paycheck, and when you add people who probably just aren't content with their stature in life, it's the vast majority of us. Yet our the way we're making decisions and spending our money doesn't go to make life better for everybody. It doesn't go to make our neighborhoods more walkable, lower our utility bills, make housing more affordable, raise our wages, all these things that could really impact everybody's lives. They're not even being talked about. We're talking about stadium repairs and these massive road projects for neighborhoods that haven't even been built yet. So that's exactly what Bellamy wants to maintain. He wants to keep control for the same individuals, the same real estate interests who are getting millions of dollars in public contracts, and they're very happy. They're very happy. And what we're saying is just share some of the happiness with everybody else.
Indeed. When that happens, do we have a shot at trying to not be the number one county in Florida for food scarcity and food deserts and entrenched poverty?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the money we're talking about can solve problems. When we talk, we had a conversation on homelessness last year. There's a little over 800 people in our community that are chronically homeless or veterans that are homeless. When we saw the numbers to house all of them and the routine, the regular investment year after year to really do housing first immediately, it was less than the renovations at Doak Campbell Stadium, the public investment in Doak Campbell Stadium. Every single homeless person in our community, we could have put a plan in action to put them in shelter. But again, we decided, this stadium was more important. I mean, food insecurity, is that enough money to solve all of the issues? Maybe not. But when you start compounding other bad projects, there's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be essentially developer giveaways or subsidized sprawl that could be going to make people's lives better. And we're just so divorced from that conversation. Mm-hmm. People say if you bring up the poor, you're being uncivil. Yeah. And that's how broken government is right now.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, civility. Carl and I had that conversation recently talking about how we define civility strictly within a cultural context. And so, polite society looks very differently, quite differently from one culture to the next and from one time to the next. Here you come along to say, wait a minute. If we have to say a few swear words or we have to call somebody out or if we have to point at the emperor and say, that guy doesn't have any pants on, that may be uncivil of us. But the outcome may be that the shields are removed from our eyes, the scales that blind us to the very people who we just look the other way. We don't want to look at that.
I had the opportunity on a housing repair project, and I went and met this woman. Her floor of her housing was just basic plywood. Mm-hmm. And in her backyard, the sewage pipe had been exposed because she was having plumbing problems, raw sewage. Dumping into her backyard.
And this was in Killarn? Or?
Yeah, this is right here in the south side of the city.
I see.
And I'm looking at, these conditions that many people in our city don't even know that exists. They probably deny it exists completely.
I have had people say that to me when I say, have you heard about our Tallahassee Food Challenge? Do you know that, Leon County leads the state? And they're like, no way, that's right. Impossible.
Exactly. So I'm looking at, that's one instance. But I just can't imagine looking at somebody, allowing them to live in that circumstance and saying you're being civil.
Rosa Parks was one person, but she represented what turned out to be, had been for some time, a sentiment and a resolve and a condition that was societal. And I think what we have at this time then is an opportunity, whether we like you or not, Jeremy, and whether you get reelected or not, those issues will remain. And that debate is something that will not easily go away. If nothing else has come of this, and I hope a lot of other things have come as a result. We know too much. You have helped expose us to questions that we're struggling to find answers for. Now, of course, there's the Congress of folks who rush up and say, no, we've got the answer. We're the answer, right? And you're saying, well, hold on there, Babalooey. Not sure that that's the answer that is going to serve the most people with the greatest possible good for the greatest period of time. And that's the only kind of mantra that I can abide with. Because to me, party politics become absolutely meaningless. Or even political philosophies. We'll just lay it out that way. You know, if you believe that government is the solution or government is the problem, I don't care. What I care about is people. And that's what you said in this debate with Dr. Bellamy. You said, we're describing homeless people as a problem that we've got to fix. And you brought it back to say, they're people, just like me and you. So let's help the people that need our help. Folks, we've got Jeremy Matlow. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We got Jeremy Matlow here. He is Commissioner, Seat 3. Tallahassee Commission has been serving this last number of years, up for re-election. His opponent, Dr. David Bellamy, they've had their first debate. And if you've just joined us, well, where were you, man? We need you here. You need to be listening because you're going to learn stuff. And we've talked at length about what's at stake. And for me, I'll say personally, because it seems to me what we have at stake is our own willingness to challenge what we've accepted to be status quo. And Commissioner, I think that as you pursue that in the debate at hand, and this first of many, I'm sure, several anyway, continues to reveal that to us. You know, the attack ads, and you mentioned Skip Foster, and there are people who are marshaled. They see this as the battle. To me, I think you bring a kind of larger framework to that, because it's not about any one election as such. It's about what we believe we want this town to be in for all of us and going forward.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You know, we've been called, you know, from certain Doe Campbell leadership, public enemy number one. You know, we've been from every angle, you know, come under fire to try to somehow tarnish, you know, my record, our record, my integrity, or what we're really accomplishing here. You know, people don't want to realize that everyday people are actually paying attention locally and want better from their government. I mean, we've all been fooled. Like, we've all voted for somebody before who said the right things, was a little slick, and really got us to buy in. And we've all been disappointed by politicians like that before. But what's happening in Tallahassee, I think, is fundamentally different, because the light has been flipped on, and people are seeing, you know, if you say you care about the issues I care about, how could you support Doug Campbell Stadium? How can you support the internal corruption at Blueprint? So these new things, Skip Foster, previous editor of the Democrat, I think leveraging his credibility from those times a little bit, has started a new publication. And, you know, it's just, I'm their target, right? It's minimum wage criticisms. It's criticisms. I can't even name them all, but, you know, whatever they may be, they're going to spend a lot of money directly attacking us to try to sway public opinion. It's not going to work. I think people are smarter, especially in Tallahassee. We have a constituency that pays attention and realizes what's going on. So we're looking forward to marching to victory, but it's going to be a brutal season.
40 years I've been in Tallahassee, and I have not seen before this kind of public concern over any given issue. You know, maybe the widening of Capitol Circle, but this is a kind of mentality that is fresh, I think. Where does that come from? Why do you think at this time, you said, well, we've been disappointed. What else is playing into that?
Well, I mean, I think this issue has really captured the public's attention because it's so black and white. You know, we all pay sales taxes a penny at a time. Imagine how many dollars it takes to get to $27 million. But we recognize, you know, half of the attendees probably don't live here. Yeah. And people are, I mean, when people rank their top issue, no one's ever said football stadium repairs. And I think for so long, people with power have been able to control the conversation and steer projects that they've really just ended up with so much more money than they even knew what to do with. And that's what's unfolded here. And eventually, you know, something's got to give. You know, we deserve a government where people can show up, be a part of it, pitch good ideas, address need, and have that thoughtfully considered in the public. But unfortunately, we don't have that right now.
It's striking that the $15 an hour wage became another one of those missiles that apparently you don't care about your employees. I guess that was the underlying message there. Is that the point?
Yeah. So they launched this website ad, you know, saying Jeremy Matlow is a hypocrite. You know, he's advocating for a $15 minimum wage, but look at this Indeed ad where it says $10. But the facts of the matter are one, we offer full health insurance as well as tips. So at the end of the day, every employee in one of my restaurants makes 50% more than the lowest paid employee in the city of Tallahassee. Mm. So I'm advocating for the city of Tallahassee to pay its lowest paid employees $15 an hour. When we talk about the minimum wage, when we all pay it, when we all buy in, it has a great effect on our local economy. You know, people who spend their money have more of it. They come into restaurants, they come into local businesses. So I'm a huge advocate for raising the minimum wage because it levels the playing field with large corporations, large restaurants that benefit in other ways. But what's so sinister about this, Brian, is the people who want to say that I'm hypocritical, the people that are attacking us, don't want to see the minimum wage of the city of Tallahassee raised. Mm. They don't care about those individuals. Mm. They'll call them seasonal workers or part-time employees. A woman was sweeping the floor at Dade Street Community Center after my debate with Dr. Bellamy, older woman. You know, I asked her, how much do you get paid? She's a city of Tallahassee employee. $10.42. How long have you worked here? Many of us have worked here almost 20 years. That's what's happening. The public's being lied to about the types of employees the city of Tallahassee is only paying $10 an hour. And they're doing it just to be spiteful. It's not hundreds of millions of dollars to raise the wage. Just the raises they just gave the top level executives, which, by the way, a public speaker had to point out because the city manager hadn't told anybody, hundreds of thousands of dollars flowing to the people who make the most money, in excess of $200,000 a year, new management positions, they're all getting raises. The people at the bottom are not. So people will try to muddy the waters about values, and I challenge everybody, join me in fighting for a greater minimum wage for everyone.
Indeed, and for me, it comes back to that woman. That $10 and, would you say, 42 cents an hour woman who decides, wait a minute, I'm worth more than that. My time, my labor, I am worth more than that. I don't have to put up with this anymore. To me, that's the real spear, the pointy end of this spear that you're carrying. It's getting us all to stop, think about what we've endured, what we are enduring, and whether or not we're willing to continue to do that any further. So in that capacity, whether this issue or these issues that you're pointing to now prevail or not, that issue will remain. And that comes back to us changing the way we think about one another. Folks, it's great to have this guy with us on an opportunity, on an occasion when, he's in the heat of battle, and it's not going to get any cooler. It's heating up as we go in through the summer. I trust, Mr. Commissioner, that you may have opportunity to chat with us in the future once again. I hope that happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
Appreciate it. Folks, Jeremy Matlow, City Commission, Seat 3. And this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's only radio station in the entire world. Let's say that. Playing all original songs from local musicians all the time. That is the sound of Tallahassee. You can find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.